I've watched that many times, and many times I've got tears in my eyes. You, if you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, will be singing holy, holy, holy with those people someday. Isaiah saw the Lord, and with him were all the host of heaven, the angels, singing out, holy, holy, holy to the Lord God of hosts. Would you go ahead? I'll go like this or something. You need to change it, okay? Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 55:6-13. We're going to be looking at the life. We're going to be looking in Isaiah, and we're going to be looking at it from different angles, but all under the same theme of the call. If you've read the book of Isaiah, you've seen when Isaiah was called by God. And it was in the context of having seen the Holy One. The one who is in heaven, who heaven cannot contain, and yet was willing to come in the flesh to be amongst us. And who has also been willing, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to come into another temple, your body, and dwell there, and commune with you. You heard him knocking at the door of your heart, and you opened your heart and welcomed him in. And the Holy One, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Master of the universe, came and abides with you and in you. Isaiah 55, I'm going to be reading through from a translation that is probably unfamiliar to you. I've heard this read in the Lyons Church, and a professor at Lyons Theological Seminary used to use this translation also. Inquire of the Lord while he is present. Call upon him when he is close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their ways and evil men their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, who will have pity on them, and return to our God, for he will freely forgive. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the very word of the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return until they have watered the earth, making it blossom and bear fruit, and give seed for sowing and bread to eat, so shall the word which comes from my mouth prevail. It shall not return to me fruitless, without accomplishing my purpose, or succeeding in the task I gave it. You shall indeed go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Before you, mountains and hills shall break into cries of joy, and all the trees of the wild shall clap their hands. Pine trees shall shoot up in the place of camel thorn, myrtles instead of briars. All this shall win the Lord a great name, imperishable, a sign for all time. Give me a call. Actually, one of the people was, I don't know if it was Ron or not, encouraged me to give a call. And I didn't, I kept putting it off and putting it off. There are times in Taiwan where I don't want people to call. In Taiwan, there were times when people, like here, would call and say, how would you like to buy this or buy that? And I didn't want that. It was easy to stop some of those calls very quickly. I would just say to them, 我不是 台湾人, 我是外国人. I'm not Taiwanese, I'm a foreigner. And when they'd hear I'm a foreigner, they just put down the phone. I didn't have to worry about it. Coming here, man, I get those stupid phone calls, and I don't know what to do about it. If you can give me some advice later on, I welcome that advice. But there are times when we want to call. There are times when we really would like to have a call. Some of you may be in the dating scene, and you just wish a male or female would give you a call that you have had your eye on. And or you're looking for a job, maybe, and you're just hoping that someone will finally say, I looked at your resume, or I listened to your interview, and I was impressed, and I'd like you to become part of our business. You want those kind of calls, don't you? But there are other kinds of calls, and there is one very important call. Oh, I just thought of another kind of a call. Maybe your older people may have wanted before. Any of you know the name Ed McMahon? Remember, he used to give a call to people to tell them that they won a big lot of money. You didn't want to receive a phone call at that time from Ed and think, I'm busy watching the football game, and hang it up. And then after a while, you think, oh, I recognize that voice. And Ed would never call you again, and you lost your money. God calls. God calls. And beloved, you have been called. Sometimes you haven't recognized that call yet. You haven't been listening well. Sometimes Rachel calls me, and I'm not listening well. Maybe I'm watching TV with my while I'm resting my eyes, you know. And I don't hear it for a while, and then all of a sudden, oh, yep. And I answer her. There's probably other scenarios, too, where I'm not paying attention. But she gets through. And God is trying to get through to all of us, not just at one moment, but all through our lives when he's giving us calls, when he's calling us. Isaiah is very worthwhile reading. Please, if you're not familiar with the book, read it. And read it again. And read it again. And you will discover that as you read through, there are many times when you find out that there were things in it that sounded familiar. That was actually in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, you can find Isaiah 62 times. 21 in the Gospels, 25 in Paul, 6 in Peter, 1 Peter, 5 in Acts, 4 in Revelation, and 1 in Hebrews. Okay. First of all, what we want to see is that God calls us to himself first. First of all, God calls us to himself and a relationship with him. Do you know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you sure of it? You can be. He wants you to be sure of it, certain of that relationship. He doesn't want you to guess and guess again and guess again. He wants you to know it because he loves you so much. Do you remember when you were first called, when you heard the call and you responded? I remember well. I remember because it was like, it was unlike Isaiah's, but it was like Isaiah's also. I remember because, like Isaiah, I was, first of all, startled. When God spoke to Isaiah in Isaiah 6, he couldn't believe what he was seeing. He couldn't believe what he was hearing. When I say couldn't believe it, he was astounded by it, startled by it. That God is who he is. I live in a community, in a country. Forgive me if you're from mainland China and I call it a country. I live in a place where there are many gods. Many, many, many. Too many. Way too many. And I'm startled by the fact there's so many and that they're so human-like and that they're so worthless. You know, you go to a temple in Taiwan and the first thing you have to do is tell the god who you are and where you live. And then you get to ask him or her for things. And you have these two little moon-shaped, half-moon-shaped blocks or crescent-shaped blocks, and you throw them on the ground. And depending on how they fall, if you ever played a game Pass the Pigs, it's a little bit like that. You throw them down, and depending on how it falls, it's a yes, I'm going to give it to you. No, I'm not going to give it to you. And they get three chances to do that. And then some people will go, well, I didn't get what I wanted, so they'll go to another temple and try it there. And in Isaiah, you see that the people of Israel came to the point where they worshipped other gods and idols. So do not think for a moment that because we're the church, it's possible. It's impossible for us to go that direction. I'm afraid it is. It's sad. We have to guard our hearts. But when I met the Lord, then too, I realized my sin. The Chinese have no real word for sin. We call it in church zui, but zui means crime. And they say, I have no crime. I'm not a criminal. Of course, there are criminals, but most people say, I'm not a criminal. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't done this or that. So it's hard to communicate, and only Holy Spirit can communicate that sin exists in our lives. And when I realized it, I knew that I had offended the Holy One. I offended Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, who wanted to be my Lord and Savior. And I believed in him that night, because I was amazed that he would love me. How can we convince someone that they love us? Sometimes it's not easy that they love us or that we love them. How can they convince us that they love us? Sometimes it's not easy. But God expressed his love and coming in the form of a man, in a human being, and he gave his life for us. I was amazed by this. I repented of it, and I received forgiveness, and I was restored to a relationship with him. Have you been? Have you told other people about it? They would like to hear your story. Ask others about it. It's good for them to tell their story. It builds them up, and it'll build you up too, and it'll make it easier to tell other people the story of what has happened in your life. And then, out of all of that, God sent us. He sent Isaiah. But you know, the book of Isaiah isn't only about Isaiah. The key figure in this book of Isaiah is Jesus himself. And you find that in there, it even goes through the sacrifice of Christ and how he died, and what he did for us as the Lamb. And within that book also is how God chose other people, like Cyrus the Mede, who sent Israel back to Jerusalem. And it's about the call of the Israelites too, and how they were to represent the Lord. Because he wants everyone to know that the idols that man worships, like the idols in Taiwan, are only that, pieces of wood. And he wants us to know that with his own hands, he founded the earth because he is who he is. He is the first and he is the last. He is God. God calls us to his will. He calls you first to himself, and that's his primary will. But he calls us to his will in other ways too. In the Lord's Prayer, you've prayed, "May thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I trust that you mean that when you pray it. That you want God's will done in your life. Because that's so important. It's because he made you with a purpose. Ever read the scriptures talk about the potter and the clay? My sons all have made pottery. Well, I have one son that's particularly good at it. And God takes us and forms us. Like he formed Adam, he formed him out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into him the breath of life and he became a living being. Well, he reforms us. He reforms us into the image of his son, if we'll let him, when he calls us. And he wants us to discover what we're made for. And back home, we have all kinds of Chinese pottery. We have pottery for tea, for preparing the tea, for pouring the tea, for drinking the tea. We have pottery for rice. We have pottery for soups and for other things. And they're used for different purposes. And you are made for a purpose. You are made for a purpose. God made me for a purpose. It was something I never would have dreamt of. And God has unusual ways of helping us to understand that purpose. When I was young, I was teased because they said I looked Chinese. Now, I have grown in stature. I'll let you figure out what I mean. But there was a period in Taiwan, the Chinese would look at me and say, "Are you or aren't you?" I heard that on an elevator and in Chinese, and we knew what they were saying. Even church people would say, "Are you Chinese or are you part Chinese?" But I think God put that into me, that there was something that he wanted me to do, and it started to prepare me for it. So even if you look a little weird, don't worry about it. God's got purposes in using that too. I don't think any of you look weird. You all look beautiful, handsome. Pyongyang. And then the purposes are developed in us. I preached my first sermon at 17 years old, not real long after I was born again, in a different church. Surprised that they even let me preach. It was a learning experience, a practice experience. And then in high school, started to learn how to lead a small group in a home. Later on, I went to Bible college. They had Christian service assignments to do. And there, I also started a traveling mission singing group. Did ministry with youth in a small church, was part of the Student Missionary Fellowship. God was doing things in my life to develop me, to use me at the time, and then to develop me for the future. And there are things that you can be doing now in God's will to bless other people. And as you do those things, you're learning and you're growing. You're making mistakes. You'll want to quit sometimes. You'll feel like an idiot at times. But you get up and you move on and you learn and grow from those things. As God helped me, I'm sure he will help you. As God built into Isaiah, he helped Isaiah. Did you know that the prophet Jeremiah at one point said, "Forget it, Lord. I don't want to do this anymore." Yet it was in his heart. He knew what God had called him. And it was like a fire in him. And I think he described it as a hammer, too, at one time. Did God beat it out of him? I don't know. But he had to do it. He had to do God's will. And whenever we are walking with the Lord and we try to get away with some things, it'll come to a point where we have to do it. There's no way we're going to not do it. God calls us to do his will. To remind, to declare to all that God is God and that he's one God. He's one. I've already said that in Taiwan, many, many people worship many different gods. And the thing is, they will say that all gods are okay. You worship your God, I'll worship our God. They're all good. They're not all good, folks. Don't ever believe that. If you have a little bit of that in your heart, that's from the devil. Because if you truly follow what goes on, one of the main things is, in Buddhism say, true Buddhism is there's no God. They're atheistic. You go into a nirvana. You go to nothingness. In Chinese religions, they don't want to be born again. Because born again means that you go through a continual cycle of sufferings. You come back as something else. And that's all convoluted too. In one group, you come back as another person. Another group, you come back as a cockroach. Or something else, you know. They're not all the same. And some do bad things to people. So they're not all the same. And any religion that takes you away from the one God, who is visible in creation, in that you can see his eternal power and Godhead in creation, that is not of God. Paul took that message to help people be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. He took it to the Gentiles, but he took it to the Jews also. Peter took it to the Jews, and he took it to the Gentiles also. And the other apostles took it to many other parts of the world. Isaiah said, my house, speaking the Lord through him, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. All nations. I really enjoyed hearing this morning that a gal in your church in the first service was raised Jewish. And now she's been following the Lord. God's call is also to perseverance. To perseverance. Is it easy to be a Christian? Is it easy for you to be a Christian? No? What time do you want me to be done? Nothing like putting you on the spot, huh? Oh, you heard it, folks. And I heard others go, oh. But God calls us all to perseverance. It's not easy. It's not easy being a believer. Jackie, maybe Rachel shared this with the ladies, I don't know. Jackie is a young person that's in our church, sent back home. Taiwan is very much home to us for 35 years. Jackie started in our English ministries, kids ministries, when he was in fifth grade. Jackie has become a believer. He is a graduate. He's done his graduate work. He's got his degree after graduate school. Became a follower of Christ, and his dad opposes him something terribly. Went out on the street and yelled at his son for an hour and a half one day. Neighbors actually came out of their homes listening to him and asking him to stop. And he's been under that constant pressure as his father has had other goals for him. And then because his father hasn't been able to see his goals met, and because of pain in his life, he's become an alcoholic. And he and his mother live under the constant pressure. His mom is a devout Buddhist, and she has asked us to minister to her son, to help her son. And she has not opposed it, and she has not opposed his baptism. When Jackie wanted to be baptized, his dad called me and begged me not to baptize him. It's hard sometimes to be a follower of Christ. It was for me at the beginning. My dad called me a fool. He didn't support me when I went to Bible college. He gave me $50. He later said it was to help me get a bus home. He didn't expect me to stay. Language was hard. Chinese is hard. It's not the hardest language in the world, but it's hard. 我不是一个中国人，我不太会讲中文。I went to the park with my son Caleb when he was just a year old, and I heard a woman talking to her dog in Chinese. And I thought, I'll never learn this language. And the Holy Spirit said to me, hey, I made you smarter than a dog. And I've learned Chinese. I'm not the greatest, but I've learned it. I can preach in it. Illness has been an issue in our lives. Our twins were born 10 weeks early. One of my sons developed hydrocephalus. And we went through a lot. He went through a lot of pain. We went through the pain in our way with him. I had cancer. I was taken out, radiation. It seemed like every term something was going on. My large intestines perforated. I had to have my sigmoid colon removed later. My back has rods in it now. And there were times I thought, I can't stay here anymore. But God said, stay. He said, stay then. But he says, go now. And it's not easy to go and to leave now. We lived through a 7.6 earthquake. In our area, 2,400 people died. People in our church had relatives die. And they told me stories I never wanted to hear. And that earthquake was so bad, I developed post-traumatic stress disorder. I saw things that were horrible. And I smelled things that you don't want to smell. There were mission changes and challenges that have occurred. But God said, keep on keeping on. Fight the good fight. Finish the course. And God's saying the same thing to you in your context. It may be just in your difficult family, with your difficult spouse, male or female. It may be your children. It may be somebody else. It may be a difficult place in work. It may be other things. And God says, keep faithful to me. Trust in me. And quite one of the, a person right when after I was born again, an old woman said to me one time, and remember this verse, in quietness and confidence is your, in quietness and confidence is your strength, is your strength. Because we trust in him. It's in the trusting in him. And we can walk through anything that God gives us to where he wants us to be. Jesus was tempted in all ways like us, yet he never sinned. And where is he now? He's interceding for us, for you and for me, at God's right hand, as he promised. And he kept his promise that the Holy Spirit would come and dwell within us to help us to be overwhelming conquerors through him. Conquering, that implies struggle. And what is it that overcomes the world? Our faith. Our faith not in faith, but our faith in him. And your brothers and your sisters in Taiwan, they're going through it too, and they're walking and learning to live by faith. The area in which we moved 15, 16 years ago, population of Christians was 0.02%. 0.02% believers. Praise God. I don't know the percentage now, but there's more than that now. There's our church, and there's another church in town now. We were the first. Can you imagine, I believe, looking in this group, this body, the number of people, that when we went to that area, there were more believers sitting here than in that entire township. And that's the way it had been in, I think it was 430 years. But praise God, there are more believers there now. Okay. And then God calls us to proclaim the good news, to evangelize. What is evangelizing? Well, the Romans used to do it. The Roman legion would do it whenever they had a victory in a part of the Roman world. They go community to community and announce, "We won. We won. We were the victors." And that's what it's about in evangelizing the gospel too. It's just declaring the facts. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. Yes, you may pity me. It's okay. It's not known so much now as the mistake on the lake as it used to be. But I am also a Browns fan. You may continue to pity me even more. And when the Browns didn't get into the Super Bowl last year, and I was finally home that I could watch, I was saddened, but okay. The Lions, I rooted for them because we live close to them now, probably closer to Detroit now than we do to Cleveland. And I was greatly disappointed that they lost. I like to root for the underdogs. But the fact is, Kansas City did win. And even though people opposed what was going on in their celebrations, and even, I think even someone died during that time, it was still a fact. It was still the fact that they were the Super Bowl champions. Maybe Buffalo will be next year, huh? Repeat after me, say after me, fact, if you believe these things. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. No one can change that fact. He is alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's coming again. And he still saves sinful people. And will save you now if you will welcome him to do so. Believe him now and you will be saved. That was weak. And I do want to remind you, we're saved if we know him. We were saved. We are being saved. In this world, we're being saved, and we will be saved from the vengeance of God in the future. About 25 years ago, a woman by the name of Wei Yang was helping her husband. She was watching the children, and her husband's business was Fu Dan, was incubating eggs, goose eggs and duck eggs primarily. And those eggs, after the birds hatched, she would raise them till they were a little bit larger, and then they would sell them out to the farms. Well, he needed a break, went out with his friends one night to a karaoke, and while he was there, he was murdered. So Wei Yang was left with a business and was left with the three children. With no experience in business, she had to learn to do that. Lots of pressure. Pressure from with the two boys and the girl. And not nearly enough money. So unfortunately, Wei Yang got involved in other kinds of business that are dishonoring to God. And she became well known among some groups, and but her children saw her involved in those things too, and it became a very dysfunctional family. But she got to the point where things were really bugging her, and she was seeing that they were wrong. Who might have that been? Holy Spirit started calling her to himself. And one day she went out on the main road coming into town, and she saw our sign, our billboard. You can't, but I can. Jesus. And she went and she found our church, and they led her to Christ. Later, she wanted to be baptized. And we don't have a good baptistry. We just had this orange bucket bin kind of thing. And she says, "I'm not going to be baptized in there. That's for garbage." So the ladies in the church put Christmas paper on it. And we baptized her in that and said, "Jesus gave you the gift of eternal life. You're giving yourself back to her." to him. You're giving yourself back to him as a gift. And by the way, when you're talking about the offering today, there was a black church where you came up to give your offerings and they have a huge offering plate on the table. And the thing that they had to do before they give their offering, they had to stand in that offering plate and offer themselves to the Lord. And then they could give the money. That's just the extra 2 cents you get. Wei Yang is following the Lord now. She helped design one of the billboards after that. And she's witnessing and telling other people about Christ, even though it's very, very difficult for her. And I know it's getting late. You guys have a lot of lakes around here. Does anybody here like to fish? Yeah, good. A few. Anybody like to clean fish? Yeah. You do? Oh, my. I want to encourage you to fish. Wei Yang fishes for men, for women, for children. Fish. But what I encourage you to do is to use a net. Not a little net, but one that more than one person has to hold. Fish together. Learn to do evangelism together. It'll go better. Unless you have a very special gifting. And learn how to share your testimonies together with someone else. Not to overwhelm them, but to, in a very natural way. And do things together with non-believers. And be surprised at the numbers of fish you catch. Don't know where to do it? Peter didn't know where to do it either. Fished all night, didn't get anything. And Jesus says, put it over on this side of your boat. And they caught so much. God can use you. Of course, he didn't do that every single time he went out. God has his timing for everything. In Taiwan, we're working together to do that. Rachel and I have always worked on a team in Taiwan and doing church planting ministries. And now the Alliance is ministering in Taiwan in different ways. We've got people from our Vietnamese Alliance churches, not from Vietnam itself because of the communist issue, but from Canada and the U.S. We've got former Taiwanese that have come back. We have Thai people from Thailand, the Alliance in Thailand that have been sent over. We have a missionary from Indonesia that has come to our area to work. We've had missionaries do short-term teams from Hong Kong, from South Korea. God is using us together to do the ministry. And I want to thank you for your part, as was announced earlier, in supporting the Great Commission Fund. And I would assume, I hope I'm not wrong, that maybe some of you have gone on short-term mission trips yourselves and done things. But you don't have to go overseas if God doesn't want you to. Don't go if he doesn't want you to. But you can do things all around. Like I said to somebody that I talked to a Chinese person yesterday at a restaurant we went to from Hangzhou. You can find other people here. And it'll be uncomfortable sometimes. Rachel and I have done some ministry in Lao Church, where there are Karen people also. We've done some ministry in Ethiopian churches in the States and in Congolese, in Spanish-speaking churches, Filipino. I went down, I spoke in Jamaica one time and went to Mexico and preached one time. Me, little old me, gotten bigger me. Kid from Cleveland, inner city Cleveland, growing up in a dysfunctional family too. God pulled me out, or I couldn't get the glory. He would get all the glory. Give him a chance to to show you what he wants you to do, and then be creative. We're going to kind of go fast over the next two and skip some things, but God's call is to commit our work to teaching others, and we need to think of how to do that. Teaching them all that Jesus Christ has commanded us in all kinds of contexts, in all kinds of ways. And then God's call is to trust him enough to leave. To leave where we are, to leave the results to him. And that's what Rachel and I have just done. We're in our 36th year, but it's time to go. We've been encouraged to stay till we're 70. I don't think I can handle it physically. But that's not the important thing. God could help me if he wanted me to be there. He said it's time. People said, don't go. People said, retire here. One person even wanted to build a house next to their house so we could live there. I'm going to start crying. I was home. We loved the time on these people. But it's time. And I think I understand Jesus a little bit better. Remember when he was going to leave, how many times he told the disciples, I'm going to leave. They didn't understand. They didn't comprehend it. In a moment, you're going to be celebrating communion. He talked about that then too. But he knew it was time, and it was in God's will, and he was fulfilling his call. God has called us to other things. We don't know what that is yet. But it's time. And you need to work here to prepare the next generation so that they can continue to do the good work that God has begun. And I believe in you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He's called you. He's faithful. And he completes the good work he's begun. Just participate in that with him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the patience of these people, for their graciousness and their love for you and for us and for people of the world. Continue to work that out in their lives. Help them in anything that they're doing now, any struggles that they may be having. Give them hope. Give them joy. Give them perseverance. Help them to know their call and their sentness. And please help them to see the good work that you've begun finishing in their lives. 我愿主耶稣基督的恩惠，上帝的慈爱，圣灵的感动，常与你们众人同在，从今天一直到永永远远。 Amen.
Thank you very much. Can we give just a round of applause to God for the glory and the work that he's done over 35 years? Thank you for being faithful. Thank you. We're going to roll into a time of communion. It's been a while since I've done this, but I guess I would just point towards one thing. A lot of times we take time for prayer. We take time for preparation. And I think in our humanness, a lot of the time that we spend, we make the mistake of focusing on spending time meditating on being worthy. And we're not. We're not worthy. We haven't earned it. We're not deserving. Like, this is, it's a time to honor God, to glorify him, and to remember. There's nothing that you can say to God right now to make you worthy. There's nothing that you can say to God right now to make you earn it or deserve it. He is no fool to give what he cannot lose to earn what he cannot give. Earn what he cannot lose to gain what he cannot earn. Yeah, that was close. That was close. So guys, we are going to take a moment and we're going to do the elements. We have open communion here at New Hope, which means if you believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you, if this is your first time or your 105th time, If you've been here for 100 years, like Ron and Rachel, you're welcome. You're welcome to partake as well. See, I'm sorry. Trace isn't here. I got my usual old guy pick on, but he's not here today. So we're going to do communion. We do it a little bit differently. I'm going to have Ron and Rachel. Ron is one of our elders here. And then Matt and Ashley Matthew is our other elder. They're going to come up here, and they're going to wait on you with the elements. When you are ready and able, come on up. Now, the Bible says that those that are not in him can partake unworthily, and that they can take a curse upon themselves. I have no idea what that means. And the Bible doesn't give a whole lot of information other than if you are partaking in the elements of communion. This is one of the very, very few religious things that God asks us to do. It's one of the liturgic things, one of the very few liturgic things he asks us to do. And with it comes a warning that if you don't identify that bread as the body of Christ, if you don't identify that wine as the blood of Christ, then you don't know what you're doing. And that's okay. That's okay. We love you. And we encourage you to just enjoy the service, to get to know the people around you as we take communion together. So we're going to have the elements on either side. You come to the center aisle and then kind of rotate back to your seat. And when it looks like everyone has taken the elements, we're going to read through the scripture and we're going to pray over it. And then we're going to have a great rest of our Sunday. Thank you.
Now, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat this, my body." And he took his cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this wine or vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my mouth."
Let me pray for you, church. There are not words other than thank you. Lord, remember this great sacrifice, this great love, this unearned grace and mercy that you did for us. And we glorify you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's rise as we finish the song.
mission. Church, God bless you as you go. We hope that you guys come back at 6 o'clock tonight. Hopefully we'll see you then. Have a great rest of your day.